Okay, our final storyteller for this evening is Matt Pacenza. He is a Salt Lake City resident and writer who currently teaches English at Judge Memorial Catholic High School. He has worked as the executive director of HEAL Utah. He has taught writing at the University of Utah, worked in magazine and newspaper journalism, and also is an advocate for health, environmental, theater, and human rights organizations. He loves to make audiences laugh while he talks about climate change, air pollution, and occasionally comedy at open mics. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Pacenza.
Well, it's a real pleasure to be here this evening. My story is about a man that my mother was friends with in the early 1980s. And specifically, it was 1983. This is a summer of 83 story. And I was 11 years old. So for those of you who are good at math, you just figured out that I'm currently 47. And I know what's going on in your mind, which is, how could such a majestic specimen of a man actually be 47 years old? But somehow, that is the case. So, summer of 1983, we are living in upstate New York. We had I was born in my early years in suburban New York State, and then my mother divorced. And she'd always wanted more of a rural lifestyle. So we moved a bit further upstate, got a farm, lived in generally rural America, country, had a farm. And she loved animals. That was one of the big motivations for the move. So those first few years, she just got one of everything. We had a little Noah's Ark situation going on. And, you know, you name it, if a human being can rear that animal, we had it. And there was donkey, there was pigs, there was just about everything. The animal I most hated was a goose. I shouldn't swear it's Utah, but geese are assholes, in case you ever had any doubt about that. And I did a lot of chores, I had a lot of responsibilities on the farm, and I had to collect eggs from a goose. And I would have to get in this little, like, kind of shed contraption and reach in, and the goose would literally grab me with its beak in the arms and twist the skin in my arm until I had bruises up and down my arms from the goose. So to hell with geese. That's really the message here. But my mother ultimately settled on bees to raise honey, chickens, we always had chickens with eggs, and then sheep. She really settled on sheep, and sheep is what my mother ultimately really raised, had as many as 100, 120 sheep, so kind of a mid-sized farm. So here we are, living in upstate New York. I'm relatively lonely. I'm 10, 11 years old. My brothers and sisters are 6 and 9 years older, so I'm hanging out, I'm doing chores, I'm reading a lot of books, but I'm lonely. I could use a little stimulation. So, when you have sheep, you think about getting a border collie, right? You've all seen that movie with Babe, you know, sheep and the border collie, it's peanut butter and jelly. The two go together great. So, my mom thinks of a man up the road who she thinks might have puppies, and this gets to her friend here. His name is Lee, and Lee was an immigrant from China who had met a woman and moved upstate New York, and they were hippies. It was the early 80s. They had a whole hippie thing going on. They had a couple kids, even to the point where they lived in a barn. They lived in a barn for a while they rented their houses out. It was all very suspect. And Lee was definitely a wheeler and dealer. He was someone who had various financial enterprises going. He liked to make a buck. So somehow in that context, he decides he's going to breed a border collie and sell border collie puppies. Perfect timing. Here we are. We're interested in a border collie. So my mother ultimately agreed to buy a puppy from him. And I can remember the price, bizarrely. It was $250. And that was a lot of money. We definitely were a working class family. My mom was a nurse. My stepfather was worked in a grocery store. And I know a lot of you right now are looking at me and thinking, you know, when you came out on stage, I looked at you and thought, there's a boarding school kid. You know, that's a, you were gallivanting with the bushes, learning how to sail, and you took a look at my shirt and teeth and saw wealth. But no, we were working class people. So the $250 was a big deal. So they buy the puppy, this little girl puppy, and we named her Kip. Border collies always have a one-syllable name so that you can call them easily. So we named her Kip, and she showed up, and here this lonely 11-year-old. It was amazing. It was so amazing to have this beautiful border collie puppy. And a few blissful weeks ensued of just, you know, you can just see me dancing around with the puppy and just being so, so happy. And then about 3 weeks after we had bought the puppy, Lee showed up again. And Lee had a story, ladies and gentlemen. Lee's story was he needed to borrow the puppy, which feels a little weird in retrospect that this was convincing, but he needed to borrow the puppy for some early training. You know, he was going to help us by borrowing the puppy for this training. So he goes off, he takes the puppy. I definitely am like, where'd Kip go? You know, what's happened here? And then he comes back the next day, and he returns with a puppy. But it wasn't my puppy. He returned, and I'll admit this part of this feels a little made up that I couldn't quite recall this detail, but I like the idea of him peeling out of the driveway kind of madly after he unloads the puppy at our house. So, you know, we're kind of all looking and staring. We're like, wait, is that Kip? And then my mom was like, well, it's a boy. So we definitely thought, oh, my God, that's not our puppy. And so eventually she pieced together what I'll now explain, which was that he had received a better offer for a female puppy. He'd gotten $500. And like I said, wheeler dealer, he was in it for the buck. So he decided, I know, I'll just go get that girl puppy. That was the only girl puppy in the litter. I'll go and get that girl puppy. I'll sell that for twice as much. And then I'll just bring this random boy a puppy. He'll be fine. Well, we weren't fine, of course. We were rather sad about this turn of affairs. So my mother protests, and she makes very clear to him that, you know, we are not going to take this replacement boy puppy. What is he thinking? So he does come back. Miraculously, she gets our money back. And we were just outraged. This was the summer of bliss for the 11-year-old had turned into the summer of sadness. So my sister, who was quite a bit older, she was 20 at the time, she decides to write a letter. And somehow we had known that the new purchaser of the puppy had come from further downstate New York. We had a sense of where. So she writes this letter, which actually in preparation for this evening, she forwarded me the letter and I was able to read. It's a beautifully written letter. She's a great writer. And she writes the Poughkeepsie Journal in New York and says, you know, my brother had his puppy stolen. If anyone has information about that puppy, please get a hold of us. Put our phone numbers in there. It's a very old school thing to do. And, you know, with tonight's story, I would love to be able to tell you, I would love it if I could wrap a bow on this story and tell you that the phone rang the next day, and then later that night, Kip came bounding down the driveway. But none of that, sadly, came to be. We ultimately got other dogs, wonderful dogs, and I had a great growing up in the country. But ultimately, my mother's friend Lee certainly became her enemy. Thank you very much.
Okay, just for my reference,